talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joining us now on the HRMP guest line, Seth Greenberg. You know him from his work at ESPN, host of College Game Day, covers college basketball better than anybody. Great coach, too, back in the day. Seth Greenberg, thanks so much for taking a few minutes joining us. As I'm sure you're very much aware, the lead story in college sports today is not on the basketball side, but Jimbo Fisher, toe-to-toe, Nick Saban. They're throwing verbal haymakers back and forth. What is your read on what's going on between the two SEC football coaches?
It's going to be an interesting media day, that's for sure. I mean, I hope they're both on the same day. I mean, maybe it's the same podium. That'd be great. You know, it's interesting. One of the things, you know, a lot of what Saban says is basically from news reports. It wasn't anything new. It was, you know, he was basically repeating the news reports. I think he was trying to send a message, quite honestly, to his boosters. I think it's a booster function that, you know, maybe we have to get into the game a little bit. And then Jimbo's, you know, deal was, you know, basically a rebuttal. I mean, I don't that doesn't move me at all, because here's the deal. I mean, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot being talked about in terms of, you know, using NIL, not as NIL, but pay for play. Some schools are doing it. It's been reported throughout the country. A lot of different schools have gotten boosters involved and created these collectives and cut deals. So NIL is one thing, pay for play is another. NIL has turned into pay for play, and you know, Coach Saban had his opinion on it, and sending a message to his boosters, maybe we got to get in the game. And then obviously Jimbo had his rebuttal, which is fine. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. But I have no problem with paying players that have been in your program and helping them obviously secure deals. Like using enticements to get a guy to come to your school, I don't know. That just, you know, I think once a guy gets there, you know, obviously if the camps are owned by the players, or if there are local NIL deals, that's great. I'm all for players getting whatever they can get. But to be the main reason to have a business decision, it's a business decision. This is why I'm going to school X. You know, there's a lot more things in the business decision. Are you going to get better? Are you going to get an education? Is the coach going to coach you? Are they going to demand that, you know, there's a, you know, a certain way that you have to, you know, do certain things? So it is what it is. It's good entertainment. You guys need a couple more things to talk about. You got the NBA playoffs. You got hockey going on. You got, you know, PGA Championship. You guys need one more thing to talk about.
Well, Coach, you do too, because I know you've been passionate about college sports as it relates to Jay Wright and this NIL and the fact that this whole system was put in play just to try and help make, you know, make it better for players that decide to go to school. And by the way, I will say I'm a big fan of the whole family. I worked with your brother Brad in Portland when I got started in the business and could not speak highly enough of him and a fan of your work. But as it relates to the NIL in specifics, whether it's football or basketball, obviously the NCAA was finally trying to address, you know, the elephant in the room, that they were raking in all the cash and these kids weren't profiting. But now it seems like it's going to be more of a detriment than it is good if this kind of thing continues to happen across their major sports.
Well, you put the NIL with the transfer portal, and it's basically the NIL on steroids, and it moves from the NIL to basically pay for play. You saw what happened in Miami with Nigel Pack, who left Kansas State, and then, you know, he gets from this booster, he gets $400,000 a year in a car, and then Isaiah Wong, who's already in school there, got a $100,000 deal with the same guy, and Isaiah Wong was threatened to leave. So, I mean, like, when it becomes, like, NIL is name, image, and likeness. What's going on right now isn't name, image, and likeness. It's pay for play. Now, look, if that's what you want to do, I have no problem with it. But let's not fool ourselves. It's not NIL. It's just a group of boosters getting together and trying to own their team and own their program by putting money together and then basically going out and trying to sign and hire the best players. The amazing thing is I talk to coaches all over the country. When they meet with a prospect right now, all right, what do you think? It used to be education, style of play, opportunity, system. You know, you go through the whole thing. You know, postgraduate, you know, network, people you can meet, players that have played in the NBA. But all the parents, they've bypassed all that now. Like, parents don't want to hear about academics anymore. Here's the sad thing about it. You got 260 kids in right now that are kept their names in the NBA draft. 60 players are going to get drafted. 20 of them are going to be international players. 40 kids are going to get drafted. So now you got another 200 players that are going to be looking to try to get into the G League. Right? And look, there's some great stories. Gabe Vincent's a great story. My guy Dorian Finney-Smith's a great story. All those things are great stories. I'll tell you one thing. Tenfold, there are a lot of bad stories. And people that say, oh, well, he's just going to go to Europe. No, he's not going to just go to Europe. My brother's coached in Europe forever. Europe is drying up. You better be really good, because if you don't play well in Europe, they just send you home. If you don't help them win, they just send you home. And by the way, they send you home without a paycheck. So, like, I just think it's the problem to me is the parents have bypassed the object of education. We have downgraded what education is all about. We don't even we don't even talk about building a bridge to cross so that when the ball stops bouncing, you actually have a chance to be a good husband and a father and provide for your family. That's not even talked about yet. Most of those people that are going to be, you know, players that are going to be graduating that's what they're going to end up being. They're not going to end up being NBA players.
Seth Greenberg joining us on the HRMP guest line, ESPN college basketball analyst. You can follow him at Seth on Hoops on Twitter. Speaking of the NBA draft, our city very much looking forward to the NBA draft, getting the third spot in the draft coming up in the draft lottery that happened the other day. Looking at the top of this draft, what are some names that you like? What's the Greenberg big board if you have one already?
Yeah, where you guys are at, I think you're at three, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's either going to be my gut feeling is Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, or Jaden Ivey or Holmgren, and you know, I would think that if Banchero drops to three, you get a 6'10" guy to complement Jalen Green. You get a guy that who's versatile, not a great shooter, but a good enough shooter. Very good floor game for a big, very good passer. At times, he disappeared some. If it's Jaden Ivey, it's a dynamic guy. I'm not sure how he would work with Green. They're a little bit too much alike, in my opinion. But both would be a dynamic athletic backcourt. There's no doubt about it. If it's Jabari Smith, now I think he'd be a great complement for the guys you have. Jabari Smith is, he's not Kevin Durant, but he can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. Terrific passer, good athleticism, good length, very good defender. I would think one of those four guys would be in the mix. Keegan Murray, could he slide up from Iowa? Could, a little bit more mature, really versatile, can really pass, can really shoot, very, very good defender, great positional length, kind of built for the new NBA. So those are, to me, the top guys.
Seth, when you look at that and you say the top guys, and obviously picking at three, you basically, because they need a big or they need a versatile big,
right.
One of those three guys is going to fall into their lap. You didn't talk a lot about Chet as it relates to, right. I'm looking for the best fit for the Rockets too, but is Chet even going to be there? And how do you see his game? Because he obviously has to put on weight and he's got to get stronger. How is his game going to translate to the NBA? And how much of a project is he going to be while he does those things?
Yeah, I mean, I'd mention Chet because everyone has, you know, our people have him as number one. I mean, look, he's got a 7'7" wingspan. He's 7-footer with very good handles to shoot it. I don't lose my mind over 7-footers that can shoot threes because, you know what? Yeah, he can shoot. And I love how he said, I'm going to be a 90-50-40 guy. That sounds good. It's a great sound bite. But, dude, you're not going to be a 90-50-40 guy. All right? How many
right.
guys have been 90-50-40 in the history of the league?
Well,
so, he's a prospect. I'm not as high on him as other people. I know Mike Schmidt absolutely loves him. Can he grab a defensive rebound and bust it up the floor and put it behind his back and finish at the rim? Yeah, he can do that. But, you know, that's great. That might be okay in the regular season. But when you watch these playoffs,
yeah,
they're going to crack him in half.
Well, and Seth, that's what my point is, too, is it looks like, you know, people are so – they already think that of the three, Banchero might be three because he doesn't have the highest ceiling, because he's already more polished and showing what he could truly be. But at least he's strong, and you know he can put on weight, and he can put on muscle, and he can put it on the floor, and he can face the basket and shoot. And a lot of times, I think – people and GMs get so enamored with what the potential could be that they don't realize what's sitting in front of you is a guy that might be already good enough for what you need.
Yeah, like Paolo, he's not a great shooter. He's a good shooter. He's a very, very good passer. Not a committed defender. I mean, that is a concern. He was not a committed defender this year. He had the season a little bit better. Really good driving and spin and finishing with either hand. At times he disappeared, and I think part of that was how Duke used him. I mean, Duke didn't play specifically through him. They had so many different guys. The ball might get stuck in Trevor Keel's hand. It might get stuck in A.J. Griffin's hand. It might get stuck in Wendell Moore's hand. I would like to see them. I would like to say at the end of the last 5 minutes of the game, he's getting a touch every single possession. I'd like to see what he would then go do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got it. This big, look, he's 6'10", 250. He's got handles. He can shoot it. He's really, really good getting angles, driving the ball from whether it's the elbow or the wing. He'd be a great player and a great fit for what you guys are building with, you know, a young core.
Yeah, my comp was Julius Randle because he came in kind of polished too, but that's not a bad thing for a Rockets team that already has Jalen Green and some of the young pieces that they have.
Yeah, different than Randle because Randle's so left-handed dominant that he, at times he's, especially in playoff time, I think he's an easier defend. Paul can go either way with it. Now, you know, I'm interested to see, and he's got to get in world-class shape. And people are going to work him out. And I'm not one of those guys, guy comes in and works, oh, man, he had a great workout. I mean, you have a body of work. You are who your body of work says you are. You know, so, like, he's got a body of work. He's got great hands. He's, like I said, he's a terrific passer. Not a great defender. Can make shots. I wouldn't call him a great shooter, but does have a little bit of middle game. Has different ways to get angles and score around the basket. So, I mean, I think he'd be a really good player, but I saw, if Jabari Smith's around, he would be really terrific because he can really defend. He's a terrific passer. He can shoot comfortably to the NBA three-point line and space the court. Got to play a little bit lower as he attacks the rim. Active defender. I think his upside is incredible because, you know, you're talking about a 19-year-old with a live body and a great enthusiasm about him.
Seth, always appreciate the time. Really enjoy your work and hope to catch up again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Good luck in the draft.
All right, thank you. Seth Greenberg, who college basketball analyst for ESPN, does a great job, College Game Day as well. Coming up next, I want to see if what he had to say changed your opinion, Blankers, at all about the NBA draft where the Houston Rockets are at, your opinion with Chet. I thought what Kevin McHale said earlier about Chet was interesting as well. Also, what Seth Greenberg had to say about the Nick Saban-Jimbo Fisher thing I thought was very interesting as well. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.